From his comic strip days, Spider-Man has always been known for being kind of thoughtful and moody, and maybe that's why people love him so much. So says Danny Fingeroth, author of Superman on the Couch, What Superheroes Really Tell Us About Ourselves and Our Society. Hello.
Hi.
You've been writing and editing comic books and cartoons, animations for, you know, what, a quarter of a century. So tell
quite
me
a long time.
What makes a good superhero?
A good superhero is someone who is an idealized version of a reader and is something they can aspire to, but also someone they can imagine being.
You know, we think of superheroes as having these superhuman powers, you know, when they have death rays or, you know, whatever they can do, see through things. But it sounds like what you're saying is that it's actually really important that the viewer be able to identify with them.
Well, that's really the most important thing. I mean, the colorful costumes and the extraordinary powers are part of the package and part of what would be a full definition of a superhero. But the idea that it's someone who either is just like me or who I'd like to be like or is just like my friend, or in the case of a villain, I suppose, someone I hope I never become like, or someone who I can understand why he does the twisted things he does. That's really the most, yeah, that's the key to any successful fictional character.
And so why do Americans seem to like them so much?
They really embody a lot of our hopes and fears, our best vision of ourselves, the idea that you can fail but come back and try again and again and succeed, that evil is conquerable, that that even if we're flawed, we can still make a way for ourselves in the world and still do good in the world. I think all those things, and that cuts across the political spectrum. I think you can find people on every political stripe and shade who love Spider-Man, who love Batman, who love Wonder Woman, and yet they might not agree on anything else, and yet there's something about these characters that really reaches out and hits people where they live.
Can you look at specific superheroes and their makeup, their personalities, what they do, and understand our culture a little bit by who they are?
I think so. I mean, again, I think, you know, a lot of it, as much as it may be American, is also just a basic human qualities, I think. The Hulk would be a character who embodies rage. You know, Spider-Man would be about the kind of constant pull between responsibility and immaturity or wanting to do your own thing. The Fantastic Four, the X-Men, can be seen as sort of different takes on the family, with the X-Men being kind of a highly dysfunctional family that still manages to come together at important times and save the world. There's a lot of insights that can be had about, you know, Americans in particular, but about the human condition in general.
What about someone who didn't grow up watching or reading superheroes? Is it still part of their culture?
Well, you know, one of the things that is fascinating to me and that kind of spurred me writing Superman on the Couch was the idea that, you know, people all over the world they have the superhero culture really just in their brains and in their consciousness, whether they have, maybe they've never seen a character, but everybody knows Superman. Oh, he's Clark Kent, you know, Spider-Man. Oh, he sticks to walls. You know, if somebody feels like there's something fishy going on, they'll say, oh, my spider sense is tingling. Everybody knows the phrase up, up and away. It's just it's so in our culture. And I was fascinated by the fact that people who wouldn't think of themselves as fans of superheroes or popular culture or action adventure know this stuff. We all live with it and live it.
Spider-Man is an orphan. You have a chapter in your book about orphan superheroes. Why do you think so many of them are orphans?
I think because the idea of losing one's parents at an early age and potentially losing them violently is probably the worst thing that a child or an adult even can imagine, right? The idea Batman has his parents gunned down before his eyes. Spider-Man's beloved Uncle Ben is murdered while he's out gallivanting as an entertainer. The idea that you would lose this these beloved figures in your life is, of course, shattering, and it's a way to vicariously experience that loss. By the same token, and I hope this doesn't sound too flip, but the idea is that the idea of losing your parents is very liberating, you know, in a fantasy way, because it's like, you know, it's, oh no, I've lost my parents, and then it's, ooh, I've lost my parents. Nobody to tell me what to do. Nobody to give me boundaries. Nobody to tell me when to be home. Nobody to tell me who to hang around with. Now, of course, in real life, that would be horrible, and whatever benefits it might have would be far outweighed by the trauma. But it's, again, a vicarious way to experience and see somebody who you can relate to going through that trauma and how they handle it and how they come out of it.
Do you have a favorite superhero?
Yeah, I'd have to say Spider-Man. You know, I just spent so many years as a kid reading his adventures and as an editor and writer creating his adventures that, you know, I've come to feel like he's a member of my own family.
Did you see the first movie?
Of course.
And what'd you think?
I thought it was the best rendition of a superhero done on film. You know,
That's pretty positive.
It was rather amazing how faithful they were to the spirit of the character.
Have you seen the second?
I'm going tonight. And I've heard only good things about it, so I'm hopeful that that will indeed be the case.
Well, Mr. Fingeroff, thank you. Danny,
well, thank you so much. Thank you, Ms. Seabrook.
Danny Fingeroth is the author of Superman on the Couch, What Our Superheroes Really Tell Us About Ourselves and Our Society. That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Andrea Seabrook.
All Things Considered is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. Tapes and transcripts are available. Call anytime, 877-NPR-TEXT, or go to our website, npr.org. This is NPR.